Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road.
Find a safe space in the studio. We want you to find a safe space in the studio, Alan. Good morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester, and we're finding a safe space for Ellen here in the studio.
Society is cracking at all of the seams. All of the seams.
And you have a problem with that? Or, I mean, is this new?
Yeah. No, it's just when it happens to you in your personal sphere,
yeah,
and people don't honor contracts or follow rules or have four husky dogs in a house in Florida when they're not supposed to.
Tell us how you really feel.
And they're all emotionally support animals now.
Mike the Great's over there doing his thing. The Ripster's here.
I'm staying back.
No. I know. No, the studio is a safe space.
Yes.
You just let Ellen just rant and do her thing. Today is a wonderful day in the church, though. Today
it is
the Blessed Mother's birthday.
I'm going to ask for her to give me some guidance.
There you go. Or some peace.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather have a plan.
Yeah, but sometimes you just have to accept where we are.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's hard for us. I'm a control freak. You know that.
Yeah.
So it's really good for me at times to be reminded, hey, nothing's going to change except my attitude.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
I'm gonna work. I'm changing my attitude this hour.
It is amazing that we don't.
Attitude determines altitude.
Oh, there it goes. Probably
that's
a Saban.
That's my mom.
Saying,
that's my mom.
Oh, your mom.
Momism.
And Coach Saban.
And Coach Saban.
Yeah. He didn't say that, but my mom said that.
She said it first.
She said it first.
He recounts. And then he quoted her.
No, he hasn't said it.
I'm sure he did.
Maybe. He probably did.
September 8th, of course, 9 months before the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is why we commemorate her birthday today. Let's pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Impart to your servants, we pray, O Lord, the gift of heavenly grace, that the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin may bring deeper peace to those for whom the birth of her Son was the dawning of salvation. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We thank our sponsor, Spring Hill College. Considering a nursing career, Spring Hill College's nursing program ranks number one in Alabama for 2021. Spring Hill College is nationally recognized for preparing nursing students for today's world. To see the top-ranking nursing division and other programs, visit shc.edu.
And in world news, Pope Francis today urged Catholics to rediscover the beauty of being children of God. Mexico's Supreme Court yesterday invalidated the state's pro-life law. One of the strongest expressions of support for the legalization of abortion was given by the president of the Supreme Court, Arturo Saldivar, who classified it as constitutional law that should not be criminally punishable. A massive fire raged through an overcrowded prison near Indonesia's capital this morning, killing at least 41 inmates, two of them foreigners, serving drug sentences and injuring 80 others. A powerful earthquake near Acapulco killed at least one person yesterday. After a ruling by the Virginia Supreme Court, a statue of Confederate Robert E. Lee will be coming down today. The Taliban on Tuesday announced an all-male interim government for Afghanistan, stacked with veterans of their hardline rule from the 1990s and the 20-year battle with the U.S.-led coalition. And in sports, the AP poll has Alabama number one, followed by Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M. And that's
shocked.
All the news. You can, yeah.
Shocked.
You should be.
Wait, did you mention Miami?
Oh, I don't even think we're there.
No, I was just checking.
Let me double check
the list.
See, Alabama.
We got.
And Ellen's like, I thought this was a safe space. I thought it was a safe space.
I'm living with it. I'm living with the helmet on top of the Miami helmet.
Go.
And until that's going to be a reminder and motivate our team.
Amen.
Yeah, they're going to see it.
Good stuff. Always look forward to Wednesday when Tom Riello speaks to us from the capital city. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Todd, Alan, and Mike. And yes, happy birthday to Our Lady. It's a great day, as you said.
Indeed.
I mean, it's a great day.
Indeed, fantastic.
It's also a great day to say Roll Tide, ain't it right, Mike?
Roll Tide, always. It's always a great day to say Roll Tide. Are you kidding me?
Hey, you know what? You know what? When you made that quote about the altitude, and Todd said, oh, Saban probably said that, I was thinking of a book titled Things Saban Would Never Say, and that would be number one on the list. They got to do a whole video montage of Saban press conferences. Those are the best things in the world.
They are.
Speaking of press conferences, you wanted to talk to us a little bit about when Owen Jensen was there in the White House, and Jen Psaki, she kind of came down on him, didn't she?
Yes, imagine that. She found obviously some conception of natural law came into her mind, because when Owen Jensen from EWTN, and you guys all know, we've learned, of course, over the past year and a half or so how these press conferences work. You know, if you're from one of the approved media sources, you know, you're automatically in there. But every now and then, they let EWTN reporters in there and so on and so forth. So what they determine the marginal networks. Mm-hmm. Well, Owen got in there on the day that the Texas law went into effect about the heartbeat. And so he asked a fair question about President Biden being a Catholic and his thoughts on this law and conception and when a child comes into existence, when does that happen? And, you know, all through his career as a senator, all through his career as vice president, he always was clear to say the typical line, like Mario Cuomo, they all got it from Mario Cuomo in his speech at Notre Dame back over 40 years ago, when he said, I am personally pro-life, but I would never impose that on other people. And that, you know, for Senator Biden, for Vice President Biden, life does begin at conception. However, my religion teaches me, and my understanding of politics teaches me, I can't impose that on others. Well, apparently the president said the other day that he doesn't believe that life begins at conception. And so that's quite the difference. I wonder what scientific discovery he made.
Well, Tom,
Jen,
that's interesting, Tom, though, because that is a change of his position of I'm personally opposed. Now it's I just don't even agree with the Catholic Church on that.
Right. Yeah. And you know, and again, this is what always happens when it's kind of like what we talk about all the time. You know, I'll play the game, but you gotta keep the rules and the goalposts in place. Mm-hmm. And that's not what's happened. And I would argue that from a Catholic perspective, we have allowed the premises of things to constantly move, that they're purposely, Todd, you said it best, it's the world we're living in now, and at some point in the game, some point in the process, maybe people will just realize we can't play this way anymore, but until we hit a critical mass of society. So when she answered back and said to him, she said, you know, the fact of the matter is, this is a woman's issue. The president believes that very sincerely. You not being a woman, you would have no idea what it's like to be pregnant and have to make these decisions.
I know. She got in his face. Like, yeah. Nor have you ever been pregnant, is exactly how she said it. And I was like, whoa, Jen Psaki, whoa.
But just 3 months ago, and this is where it gets absurd, right? Mm-hmm. This is what's scary. Because on one level, you can't take these people seriously. You really can't. Because if you did, you would go crazy. But on the other level, they hold a lot of power. So this is what you wind up with. You wind up with what Father Louis Boyer called, what he spoke about when he spoke about the Nazis. Father Louis Boyer said that Nazism and every ism is subjective authoritarianism. If we are not living in an age of subjective authoritarianism, I don't know what we are living in. Because just 3 months ago, if you all remember, we didn't use the term pregnant women.
Oh, yeah.
That was becoming passé. We said birthing persons. And folks, I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm dead serious. That was the term endorsed by people, not only Congresswoman Cori Bush, but many people on the floor of the House. These are people who, when they opened up Congress in the beginning of the year, they did not just say the prayer amen, they said the prayer a women, because with a straight face, they said that amen is sexist. This is the absurdity.
Bad, Tom.
Right?
No, I
you
know
can't
you're
make
being
this stuff
serious.
Up.
You can't. And it's just, when
right.
you said that, it just all made us chuckle because we forgot how absurd everything has become.
But look at her reaction, though. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Todd. She got up in his face. Mm-hmm. I mean, she went full throttle on him. You saw her lose her cool, which typically that's not what they do in that moment, right? Mm-hmm. But she was viscerally angry. Mm-hmm. Because, and this is, I think, what happens. The truth doesn't need, you know, filet mignon doesn't need to be marinated, right? Because it's tender on its own. It's good. But you don't need to add anything to it. Well, the truth is that way too. The truth just has a power in itself. And she met the truth in that question. And she resented it. That's what's happening. And as long as we proclaim the truth, we can always hold our head up high. And that's why I so appreciate Owen Jensen getting in there and asking a fair question. He didn't sandbag her. It was a very fair question, a legitimate question, and she resented every aspect of it. Every aspect of it.
Well, because it's
absurd. And I'll tell you what, if she did not have the power that she had, go ahead.
This is the problem. The whole thing is absurd. And really, I would have greater respect for them if they would just admit it. Just put it on the table. Listen, Joe Biden is not abiding by, is not embracing the truths of his supposed faith. He's not doing it. Mm-hmm. So just be honest. Just be honest, Tom. What's so hard about that?
Well, you know, because he's been allowed to get away with the fact that he can bifurcate his faith from his practice. Mm-hmm. Just like when a certain Speaker of the House went on Tim Russert, God rest his soul, 12 years ago, and was talking about, with a straight face, that the church is in debate about when ensoulment takes place, okay? Mm-hmm. She has never read the debate on ensoulment. We all know that. That was some aide who probably did a quick Google search. But they get away with it. And as long as we just keep allowing this chimera to keep getting played over and over again, this is what's happening. So the fact is, we have to hold people accountable. Yes, they don't care. I get all that. But we can't allow the slippery slope, moving of the goalpost, conceding of the premises. One of the things I tell people all the time about all that's going on with, the science, right? Everything's trust the science. Hey, Archangel Radio audience, do me a favor. Why don't you Google National Institutes of Health? Why don't you Google the National Institutes of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, which is what Francis Collins and Tony Fauci both head up? We did the series about a month ago on what happened at the University of Pittsburgh with the baby parts. Mm-hmm. Why don't you Google the AMA, American Medical Association, which is the medical lobbying group in the country, telling us everybody to trust the science. Why don't you Google them on transgenderism? Please just do me a favor. Google them on what the AMA just filed concerning the assigning of gender at birth on birth certificates. Then Google what the AMA said about gender transition surgeries, reassignment surgeries, and the sacrosanct rights, the sacred rights between patient and client, even if the client is below the age of being considered an adult and the parents oppose, the sacredness of that relationship is such that the patient has to be the protagonist of their own health care. So much for trust the science. But how many Catholics have just conceded that everybody's just on the up and up? No, they are not. And when you challenge them on it, and let's be honest, people greater than Tom Riello have got to start challenging them, because no one cares what I have to say. Yes, a few people do, but at the end of the day, it's not enough to move the needle. But we have folded like a cheap camera, as we've said over and over again, granting every premise under the sun, and when they're called on it, when they're challenged, they fold like Jen Psaki did when she got viscerally angry by being challenged by Owen Jensen. Let's be honest, he wasn't even challenging her per se, but it forced her into a corner she did not want to have to be in because she resented it. We have to start standing up for the truth.
Part of, I think a lot of practicing Catholics' frustration is that if you look in the past historically in our faith, there were many world leaders, kings, emperors that were going against teachings of the church, and their bishops stood up and called them out on it. And we've read through some
saints. A lot of those people got excommunicated.
Exactly. So that was done in the past in order to not cause scandal to the faithful and to not lead people astray of what the church teaches. Yet in today's day and age, somebody in the highest office of the land in the United States who proposes that they practice the Catholic faith can be in directly against a fundamental teaching of the faith. And his bishop or other higher-ups in the Catholic Church say nothing about it or do no sort of fraternal correction on this. And to me, they're going to have to answer a lot for the many lukewarm Catholics or uncatechized Catholics that are led astray by this position.
Well, this goes back, and this is something that I mean from the depths of my being. Mm-hmm. If you look at the average training of a Catholic priest, compared to any other denomination, and I don't believe Catholicism is a denomination, but for the sake of the discussion, mm-hmm. when you look at denominationally, it takes us longer to educate our guys. 6 to 8 years, and there's a reason for that, because before they actually get into theology proper, they spend a lot of time talking about philosophy, especially a lot of time talking about St. Thomas Aquinas and the different ways of applying his thought to the day, okay? Mm-hmm. Which means we are uniquely equipped to deal with issues like premises. Like the average American has no concept when you say the word premise, right? But Catholics do, and Catholic priests do, and Catholic bishops do, because we understand that. It's so important to our understanding. But the tragedy is, Ellen, is the fact that we have allowed, as a church, to see every doctrine, if you will, every teaching of the church to be equivocated. So therefore, what you just said, a fundamental teaching, this is not Joe Biden disagreeing with an official position of the Catholic Church regarding immigration, because there is no official position of the Catholic Church regarding immigration. There's principles. There's principles that we adduce. Each nation has a right to protect its borders. Pope Benedict, Caritas in Veritate. Pope Francis has said the same thing. But then the question becomes is what does that look like? But the principles. But with the issue of abortion, we're not just applying principles. There's an actual dogmatic teaching that's rooted in the natural law. It's scientific fact. It's like saying, well, you know, I personally believe in the law of gravity, but I won't impose that on my people. That's absurd. That's irrational. Yet we accept it every day with abortion. And when people allow abortion to be equivocated with a bunch of other issues to say, oh, if you're supporting the Texas law, but I sure hope you're taking care of the poor in your neighborhood, what does that imply? It implies that pro-lifers don't care about the poor in their neighborhood? How dare you? You know how many people I know who are pro-life, who sit in front of abortion clinics and pray rosaries all day, who have adopted children? How dare you? How dare you play that game that everybody else does? But they do it all the time, and it's disgusting. And we've allowed it to happen because we've allowed the terms to be equivocated. And we have. This is what happened with Owen Jensen and Jen Psaki. Words were not equivocated. Life begins at conception. What does the president think about this? And she got resentful. The truth has power. We have to proclaim it.
I couldn't agree with you more, Tom. I just think we need to have people to be able to have the courage to do that, to stand up knowing that the slings and arrows are going to start firing at you. Because can you imagine if this was still slavery, if we were talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I agree that you probably shouldn't have slaves, but I'm not going to force that on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's absurd, but historically, that's not too long ago, Tom. That's not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. You're 100% right. I will say this, though, and I mean this. I take incredible comfort that there are people like Todd Sylvester and Ellen Taylor and Mike Romano who are every day going on the air on Archangel Radio who are willing to talk about these things. I do take great comfort in that, to know that, you know what, I'm not alone. And it's easy, because the one thing the enemy wants us to always think is that we're by ourselves, we can't change things. You know what, the greatest way we can change things is to be on our knees, holding our rosaries, praying to the Lord, and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Right? What do you want me to do? Because sometimes we just have to offer it up and say, Lord, I did my best, I tried to be faithful. But if we're going to deal with this from a public perspective, we have to start meaning what we say and saying what we mean. And until then, politicians are going to politician. They're going to use whatever they can do to get a political advantage, or if they perceive one. But the fact is, at the end of the day, we always have to answer to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, we do. But we've got to take a stand, and we're just not doing it. And it's cascading through every element of society. Tom McDonald, love when you come on and rant.
Tom Riello.
Whatever. 2 days, I'll talk to Tom McDonald. It's Wednesday. Tom,
thanks, Tom,
have an awesome week.
Bye, everybody.
Can't speak.
It's okay.
Father Victor Ingalls, is he in the house, Mike? He's coming up, stepping up to the mic. We're going to talk about seminarians here in the Archdiocese of Mobile. Stay with us.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. You're on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great, Ripster, doing their thing in studio. Father Victor Ingalls, who is a vocation director for the Archdiocese of Mobile, here to not only give us an update on vocations, but also to talk about the Burst Club. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming all the way over.
It's great to, I wanted to look at you guys right in the eye.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just and say your presence.
And then say, are you given to the Burst Club? You know, how right I, into my eye.
Look in my eye.
And you're not just giving the $12 that they've been asking for a century. Are you, Todd? Are you?
Let me just see you fill
out the check. Because we know that you got the letter in the mail, Todd. This
right.
is working.
Is it working?
Oh, it's working.
Good, yeah. good. I hope everyone's just pulling out their checkbooks as we speak.
Well, let's first talk then about Burst Club. That has been around for a long time, huh?
It has. 1953, Bishop Tulin started it to help support seminarian education. It's been going ever since. And the faithful of the diocese have been huge supporters. I mean, it's incredible just how much people have supported over the years. And it's evolved now. You know, we call it the Burst SOS, because the first $130,000 goes into a trust that we raise so that we can kind of keep growing that trust to support the guys. And then everything over that goes into our budget, like for this year, to help pay for, seminary education.
24 years ago, when I first moved to the greater Mobile area, and I still remember it was Sheila Wilkins, who is a sacristan over at St. Ignatius,
right,
came up to me. And, you know, I'd already known her a little bit from being there. And she goes, oh, that's right. You're new. You have to join the Burst Club. And I'm like, okay, what's the Burst Club? That's for seminary and education. I'm like, oh, that sounds great. I'm all in. And I was thinking it's going to be, I don't know, they're going to ask for like $25 a month or something.
Right.
She goes, it's $12. I said, oh, it's $12 a month? No, it's a dollar a month. And I started laughing because I thought she was kidding, Father.
Well, 1953, $12 was a big deal, and they used to collect it, from what I understand, every month. They would have Burst Club ladies, you know, stand outside the church and get your dollar. Mm-hmm. So it's just amazing the work that's gone into it. And so, you know, we're challenging people to think about making a $120 contribution, and that's about the equivalent of what $12 was in 1953.
Look at me in the eyes and ask for that. Go ahead.
$120
donation. I can do that.
Okay.
I can do
or
that.
$12
for
a month. 12. Right.
But even any donation 12 and over.
$10 a month. Let's do the math correctly, people.
Sorry.
It's early.
I call Tom Riello, Tom McDonald. This is downhill from here.
It's all just confused. But here's a great deal. Even if any donation of $12 and over, you get remembered in the Mass Intentions every day at St. Bernard in Coleman. We've had a deal with the monks there, and
nice.
Every day they remember all those who have contributed to the Burst Club. And so any donation 12 and over, you know, you're getting some prayers for the next year. So that's not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal at all.
Nice.
So let's talk about seminarians.
Let's talk about them.
Mm-hmm. You brought pictures in.
I know. I brought a cheat sheet just to make sure I've got... We have 14 guys, mm-hmm. and we have two new guys this year. One is from Troy, Alabama, Ethan Green. He grew up in Troy. He's actually a convert. He converted the faith in high school and did a couple years at Troy University. He was real involved with Focus and their campus ministry there. And he is just starting his first year over at St. Joseph Seminary College in Covington. And then our other new guy is Simon Atkinson, and he is from Auburn, St. Michael's Parish. He just graduated from Auburn High School, And his family actually has some roots in Louisiana. Their family's military, so they've moved around a good bit, but he's been in Auburn for high school. And he is also starting over at St. Ben's. So nice. those are two newbies.
New guys. Let's talk about the guys that are in there now and have been for a little while.
We want to go through the whole list?
Yeah, I do. Okay. It's only 14.
It's only 14.
You got time. Let's
go.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we've got Ruben Castaneda. He is over at St. Ben's. He is from St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Tallahassee. And
with Father Matthias Rutzik.
Father Matthias Rutzik.
I'm working on my RV.
Working on my RV. Well,
he's always working on that RV.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
To.
It's good for him.
I know. No, it's very Catholic. We have, you know, Ruben's family's from Guatemala. So, you know, we've got his Polish pastor and Guatemala. Just like the whole soup, you know.
Accents galore.
And Tallahassee, you know. This is incredible. So, Andrew Thompson is going into his junior year. He's from St. Mary's Parish in Mobile. He's over at St. Ben's. We've got Lucas Doyle. He is from Enterprise, Alabama. He's also going to his junior year. He's at St. John Vianney in St. Paul, representing the Wiregrass. We're looking for more Wiregrass seminarians. So all you Wiregrass listeners, send your sons.
Explain.
I have no idea what that is.
The Wiregrass?
Yeah.
The Wiregrass is a far distant land to Mobilians, but it's a magical place.
Far distant land.
Yeah, almost as magical as
the
Montgomery.
The Archdiocese of Mobile. Are we talking about specific counties or what?
So we're talking about the area around that kind of sweeps through like Dothan, Enterprise, I think Ozark might be in there.
Okay.
So it's just kind of this little sliver.
Now, it is a large area. You can't say a little sliver because I did the parish mission in Ozark. And when Father Fred Mone, who was pastor at that time, gave me directions and I was listening to my maps, I lost signal on the way there. Right. So my maps stopped working.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I don't know where I'm going.
I'm out of Mobile and Baldwin County.
And we'd say, get on this road. I'm like, I've got to be getting closer and go for 28 miles and get on this road and go for 31 miles and get on this road. I'm like, come on. There's got to be a shorter one.
There's life out there, Todd.
Yeah. I know.
It's the Wiregrass, right?
The Wiregrass. Mm-hmm. The Wiregrass. So Lucas Doyle representing Enterprise, the Bow Weevil capital of the world. We've got Edward Charnock.
Sorry.
They have T-shirts that say "Fear the Weevil," which Lucas is proud of.
Amen. I would be.
Yeah, it is. Monument to an insect. But Edward Charnock is going into his junior year at St. Ben's. He's from St. Dominic's, McGill grad. Andrew Wentworth going to his senior year at St. Ben's. Grew up at Corpus Christi, another McGill guy. And St. Ben's. Gayton Armstrong from the far distant land of Montgomery, Alabama.
Woo!
Montgomery Catholic grad.
Like maybe the priest that's in studio?
Yeah.
Like maybe him?
Yeah. We have the same home parish. No big deal.
You know, but, NBD.
No big deal. Just Holy Spirit Parish. Greatest parish in the diocese. Everyone agrees.
Ever.
So then we go up to Major Seminary. We've got six guys there. Rich Perkins is going into First Theology, and he is from St. Michael the Archangel in Auburn. And he actually was a disc jockey for several years.
Talked to him
Auburn.
A lot about radio. Yeah.
Y'all had a lot to talk
about. Oh,
wait,
did I miss Lucas already? Did you already talk about Lucas?
Lucas Doyle?
Yeah.
From the Wiregrass?
From the Wiregrass, right. Okay. Yeah. So I do need to give a little bit of shout-out to both Lucas and Edward.
Okay.
Because I saw them when we were at Covecrest this
summer. Oh, yeah.
And I hope he doesn't mind me outing him on the radio. But Lucas beat me to the chapel almost every morning. That kid is a prayer warrior. Because I'm an old guy. I wake up without an alarm, so I'm up before the sun.
Right.
And I would go in there, and the lights really weren't even on yet in the chapel. But I saw, because you always end up sitting in the same spot. You
know? Right.
But he was there praying his breviary.
Praise God.
And then Edward, awesome. We were well represented at Covecrest this summer with those two guys.
That's great.
Yeah.
Happy to see these guys are praying. I keep telling them it's a good thing.
Yeah,
so,
two thumbs up.
That's awesome. The one fun thing is the whole Archmob, you know, seminarians are obsessed with kind of the Archmob. You know, we've got Archmob t-shirts, Archmob hats. Archmob's like the battle cry. Well, they were wearing, these two guys, Lucas and Edward, worked at Cove Crest, were wearing their Archmob shirts around. And everyone's like, what's up with that? I'm like, that's our church. That's where we're from, Archdiocese Mobile. They're like, oh, that's so great. So the whole staff gets Archmob shirts. They get online, they order Archmob shirts, and they send me this picture. It's the entire staff of Cove Crest wearing Archmob shirts.
Yeah, like, they are.
All right,
what's
Lord,
up?
Just take me now. What else?
What's
what
up?
Else can we accomplish here? And I went to LSU about a week and a half ago, like right before the hurricane, to give a talk and like reach out to some Mobilians. I'm giving this talk. I look at the crowd, and this girl's wearing an Archmob shirt.
Yeah, like, she is.
What? And so, but she was one of the missionaries with those guys. But mm-hmm. they're saying, "Oh, we love these guys, and they're so fun, and the whole Archmob, we love yeah. it." So it's cool to see the Spirit of Christ moving mm-hmm. through the Archmob
Amen.
And beyond.
Amen. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Major Seminary.
All right, Major Seminary. We talked about Rich Joseph Schultz, also Saint Michael the Archangel Parish in Auburn. He is up at Saint Mindred. We have Donald Paul Maddox, who is from here in Mobile, St. Dominic's, McGill. He's up at St. Mindred. Drew Williams this year has taken a pastoral year, and he is spending it doing pastoral work in St. Bede in Montgomery with Father Alex.
Which is close to the best parish. I mean, it's like
yeah.
adjoining.
It's close.
The,
yeah, it's
like
close.
Adjoining.
Right. It's not too far, so he's going to absorb a lot of greatness, I would say. So we really hooked him up. Zach Halloran is doing a pastoral at St. Patrick's in Robertsdale with Father Morrison and his dog Bosco and Sister Margaret and the whole crew over there.
Beautiful.
So that's going to be a great experience for him. And last but not least, we have Thomas LaPointe, who is from Montgomery, Alabama, St. Michael the Archangel. His parents his family just moved there. And he is the next on deck this spring, God willing, Archbishop willing, to become a deacon.
Wow.
Nice. So we are looking forward to that.
Praise God.
That's the breakdown.
All right. So if people are listening right now, granted, yes, number one, we need to support Burst Club.
Right.
Number two, we need to be praying ardently
yes.
for our seminarians, for our priests. I mean, we cannot perform the sacraments ourselves. We can't.
Right.
So I am one who is a beneficiary of you guys and your commitment and your discernment and your yes all the way down the line until you're ordained, because I have the opportunity and I feel invited to get to Mass every day. But I can't do that on my own, Father. There's a lot I can do on my own. I can't turn bread and wine into God.
Right. It is a particular skill set.
And you got it down.
I got it down.
How can we help? How can we help? Because you're trying to form this culture of
right.
vocations. How can we help?
Well, you know, obviously this weekend's the Burst Club. We're looking for, you know, monetary support for these guys to be able to go to seminary. So that's a huge way. But a big way I feel called this year, I mean, prayer is always important, but this year I'm really asking people to really think about praying for our seminarians and priests. This past year is a hard year for all of us. You know, it's just a tough year in a lot of different ways. You know, part of seminary is discernment. Like, you're going to see, like, is this really for you? We always have guys enter. We always have guys leave. 2 years ago, we didn't have anybody leave. This past year, 9 guys left, which is kind of a big number. And, you know, there's a lot of different reasons. You know, that's part of it's just normal. Part of it's just, okay, how the chips fell. But it did impress upon me is, like, these guys really do need a lot of prayer. You know, they're going up against a lot of things. There's a lot of things they're trying to sort out in their life. So we have prayer cards that are going to be disseminated around the diocese. We wrote a prayer to the Blessed Mother this year for our priest and for our seminarians. I would really, you know, ask that everyone, you know, think about praying that daily. We're having individual prayer cards of all of our guys go around to the parishes, and we're going to ask that families really consider adopting these guys and pray for them every day.
Nice.
And I'm working on a rosary and a holy hour that hopefully parishes could use as well to really cover these guys in prayer. You know, a lot of people, especially this year, they heard, well, man, I heard, you know, we lost 9 guys. What we can do? I said, man, I really would just love y'all to really pray. You know, like that's... You know, they're off at seminary. You know, there's only so much hands-on stuff you could do. They love getting care packages and things like that. But just to really cover them in prayer. And I think, too, just in our parishes, just to have it be more of a central focal point of prayer. Obviously, the prayer has its effect, but it also, I think, communicates to that community of its importance. And I think, you know, let's just get on our knees and ask God for what we need. You know, mm-hmm. if we need the sacraments, we need priests, like, you know, let's ask God, you know, to give them to us.
Amen.
It's also, too, just hearing that story, remind that there's the bigger universal prayer of vocation and then the individual call of each of them in the specific vocation. And I think you're right to point out you're going to have people discern in and discern out. And it's a good thing that we are having young men take that chance and opportunity mm-hmm. to discern, is this God's will in my life? Like, we have to give them the space to do that too, because if they're not even taking that first step, then we won't get to the second step of having seminarians. So we need to pray too and talk to, I know you talk a lot, and we talk a lot about it on the air, of just talking about vocations in our Catholic families and in our Catholic schools, in the broad sense of have you considered that God might be calling you for this? And so they're individual decisions, but it's all a greater Catholic community here in the Archdiocese of Mobile praying forth that we are showered with good mm-hmm. priests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I was thinking before, just we started this vocations mm-hmm. podcast about a year or so ago called Native Soil. Uh-huh. And last week's episode is with Lauren Hoyer. She's a teacher up at Montgomery Catholic. But part of her story, she said her dad went through a real conversion, and part of that conversion was just really realizing how important the will of God is mm-hmm. for your life. And so as kids, he taught them a prayer, very simple, but Lord, make your will my desire.
Wait, say mm-hmm. that again.
Lord, make your will my desire.
Amen.
Lord, please make your will my desire. And that just struck me as simple but profound. Check out her episode. She talks more about it. But the thing I really was impressed by her kind of journey was her own path of faith is very much one of seeking the will of God. And just that idea, you know, just for us to talk to our young people, like, success in your life will be discovering God's will, following his will and the big things and the small things. And a lot of it is just assuming, like, God is active in your life and he is, like, revealing himself in the circumstances of every day. So just to kind of open your eyes and be open to that. And today's episode that released on Native Soil is Father Alex Crow, our newest priest, and kind of goes through his conversion story, but also his call to the priesthood. And I think that's another great one to check out if people are, you know, looking for something to really think, well, what does it look like in real time to discover the will of God and to, you know, to respond to it?
NativeSoil.com, right?
.org.
.org.
But if people are listening now and either they've got grandsons, you know, because I know we're talking also about religious life and it can be young ladies, but if we're talking specifically about priests, if we've got grandsons, we've got sons, I mean, how can we help foster? Because in the Sylvester house, we've always put it on the table.
Right.
Like, it's just an understanding. But in some homes, they talk about careers, and those are good things. You know, thinking about careers. I mean, you were on track to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think some is just for it to be an option, you know. And I think, like you were saying earlier, okay, I don't know anyone else who can perform sacraments. Mm-hmm. I don't know who else can give me the Eucharist. And it's,
forgive my sins.
It's mm-hmm. obvious to young people what's important to you. So some of it is you can't BS it, but like the sacraments actually have to be important to you, you know. And I think even with this prayer, you know, we pray for all vocations, but this year in particular way, you know, I'm going to keep preaching all the vocations, but specifically, let's get on our knees and ask God for priests.
Amen.
Like let's dedicate time to everything, but let's ask God to give us holy priests that will celebrate the sacraments and bring us closer to God and do what they can uniquely do. Because as you said, priests can, you know, they're the only ones who celebrate the sacraments. That's part of God's plan. So let's not shy away from just getting on our knees. And when you see these prayer cards come out, when you see the individual seminary prayer cards come out, like take one, put it in your home, make it like a prominent thing. Like everyone get on your knees and say these prayers every day for these guys. And one of the prayers I put on the individual is just a prayer from, Blessed Charles de Gaulle. I think I might have missed his name. Basically a prayer of abandonment. Just like, Lord, just, you know, I abandon myself in your hands, whatever you want to do with my life.
Mm. That's a good prayer for all of us.
Yeah, that's so that's part of it, is just kind of wherever you are in life, there's going to be this prayer to say, God, what, you know, what do you want to do?
Amen.
But I think part of it is just to, for the priesthood, for the Eucharist to be something that we talk about, that we appreciate.
Amen. Father Victor Ingalls, can you give us a blessing before leaving?
And Lord God, bless all of those listening, all those here in the studio, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Father Victor Ingalls, Vocation Director, support the First Club in the Archdiocese of Mobile.
Amen.
Good luck.
Nice.
Thanks.
Coming up,
Pat Ahrensburg, going to talk about some Catholic school teachers and the good work they're doing. Stick with us here. L.A. Catholic Morning continues.
By the bay, if home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by.
Her voice.
I have no idea why you chose Whitney Houston, but I'm so happy that you did.
Hey, the children of the future.
Okay.
See, there we go. There's always a connection.
I'm sure there's always a line. Sometimes it's more obvious than others.
Yes.
But I just love Whitney Houston, so I don't care.
It's okay.
We have this on the line, regular guest Pat Ahrensburg. He's the director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life. And we're looking at his latest article in the Catholic Week concerning Catholic teachers. Or those teachers that teach in a Catholic school. Good morning, Pat.
Hey, good morning, Todd. Good morning, Ellen. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was so reminiscent when you were when I was reading your article concerning when I first started teaching in a Catholic high school, and it was just so different. I did not have any experience teaching elsewhere. I only taught in Catholic schools, and it really was a ministry, Pat. I mean, and it was such a blessing in my life. I mean, I know a lot of students have come back and said that it was a blessing, but it was, I think, just as much of a blessing as the teacher. Would you not agree?
Oh, in spades, I would agree. I mean, there are times I'd be talking about marriage and love and forgiveness, or I'd be and as I'm teaching, I'm thinking, you know, what you're professing, what you're imposing or proposing to these kids, you didn't live up to today, and you didn't live up to it last night. So I'm not sure that I wouldn't be even worse of a Catholic now had I not spent those years in the classroom. Because you're talking about stuff, whether it's in morality class or sacraments class, and you're like, oh my gosh, I am so short of what I'm proposing to these kids. So absolutely, it's a blessing for the teacher.
So you kind of laid out this article at the start of the school year to just kind of give people a glimpse maybe of what Catholic teachers do. And I like how you framed it, too. It's not just like teaching in a public school. When you commit to be a Catholic school teacher, you're kind of embracing the Catholic life and the Catholic experience and the Catholic life and passing it through everything you do to your students.
Yeah, I mean, I was poignantly aware, you know, that everything I did as a teacher, I was doing as a minister of the church. Mm-hmm. That when I corrected a kid and how I corrected a kid for his shirt being untucked or for being late, or that my whole demeanor, the kids were judging the Catholic Church by my attitude, by the way I treated them, by whether I acted with love or not. And if you do that right, it's exhausting. I mean, so, you know, you have a kid, you come in, you know that he's having family struggles. You know that things aren't so rosy. And he comes in looking awful, you know, Tuesday morning to your class, and his shirt's untucked. Now, you have to correct the shirt being untucked, but you have to do it in such a way that affirms him, that lifts him up, that lets him know you love him. It's not just, it would be super easy to be a guard in a prison camp. Just tuck the shirt in. That's all there is to it. Mm-hmm. But in a Catholic school, you have to find a way to do that communicates to the kid you love them. And that can be exhausting. And I guess, as I was thinking, I didn't put this in the article, but, you know, I think it's Patrick Madrid or maybe the Pop Chacks. I don't know. Somebody on one of the little, you know, clips you have on Archangel Radio says, you know, raising kids is not so much talking to your kids about God, but talking to God about your kids. Mm-hmm. That same kind of metrics also applies to Catholic school teachers. That the best of our Catholic school teachers pray for their kids every day. Now, the very best thing that a teacher in a Catholic school can do is go to morning mass.
I cannot tell you how many times I'd go to Mass in the morning over at St. Mary, and the Lord would put different kids onto my heart, into my mind. And it was just, they needed prayer that day, and I would be very mindful when they came into my classroom to know that the Lord had me praying for them that day. Mm-hmm. So it's a fairly exhausting job if you do it right.
I want to thank you, though, for writing this article, Pat, because you brought back a lot of great memories when I was a high school teacher many, many years ago. A lot of my former students are now in their 40s, so this was quite some time ago. And I distinctly remember one young man who had a lot of problems. I was on the discipline committee, and he had a file that was very thick and a lot of attention issues. And you know the kid, Pat. So during the parent-teacher conference, four people walk up. And it turns out, I didn't know this information at the time, that he was the only child of the first marriage. The parents got divorced and remarried, and they both started new young families. And it seemed like no family wanted him anymore. Mm-hmm. And once I got that information, I pulled him aside. Like the next week, he goes, oh, yeah, I hear you talk to my parents. I'm like, yeah. And I said, we're never going to have an issue, you and I, ever again, because I understand the circumstances that you're coming from. Well, the kid almost started crying. And then we became very close. And even periodically, I still get a Christmas card from this kid. And because he even said, he's like, I felt more loved at school than I did in either of my homes that I went to. And I think that's what you're saying in this article, right, Pat? I mean, it all comes down to love, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes that love, you know, sometimes our kids come from, you know, sometimes parents, when they feel guilty that they're not giving their kids enough attention, and so they tend to be overly lax with rules. And so sometimes that love manifests itself as holding our kids accountable. So I'm not talking about, you know, fuzzy, happy, cotton candy love. I'm talking about hard love that walks with the kid, that meets them where they're at, that challenges them to be better than their behavior seems to be indicating they are. Because when you communicate that to the kid, they're like, man, if he thinks I am capable of that, maybe I am. And so, you know, a Catholic school teacher walks into a classroom with the same expectation that every teacher in every public school does. They walk in with their curriculum. They walk in with having to take roll. They walk in with having to be accountable to the parents for the content that's being taught. But in addition to all of that, their ultimate job is to raise these souls to be disciples of Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, whether we're teaching chemistry, biology, you know, Western Civ, history, you know, pre-algebra, my main goal is to save the soul of the children in front of me. And part of the reason that I have to have an excellent academic classroom is because our parents shouldn't have to choose between excellent classrooms and faithful classrooms. They should have their cake and eat it too. And that's what a Catholic teacher is tasked with. Not only do I have to provide an excellent classroom, but that's just the means to the end of evangelizing our kids.
And you know something, Todd, your story brings up a good point. Our kids in Catholic school are not immune to the sins of the world. And they are pervasive in our secular life, in our faithful families. It happens, but we have to offer a proper response to when we encounter situations in life that are not perfect, and we have to teach kids how to respond. And so this is a really good way in Catholic schools of showing, yes, the world is full of sin and awful things are going on, and they may be affecting your lives, but we respond with grace and love, and we work through them in the best of our abilities here. And that's something really important, because a lot of kids don't get to see that otherwise. They just think the world is messed up.
Mm-hmm. St. John Paul II said that the only appropriate response to a human person is love.
Amen.
And that's what we try to do in Catholic schools.
Amen, Amen. Pat Ahrensberg.
Thanks,
awesome.
Pat. You can see his article in the Catholic Week, so go there, and ode to our Catholic school teachers. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Hey, thank you all. God bless.
Okay.
Beautiful. Beautiful. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Coastal Segway Adventures. Looking for an adventure, Ellen? Coastal Segway Adventures, offering kayak and paddleboard rentals for a fun-filled, hassle-free day on Lake Shelby. To make your reservation, call visit CoastalSegwayAdventures.com or call 251-509-TOUR. That's 251-509-8687. Coastal Segway Adventures. Coast the Gulf. Coast life.
Yes.
What's coming up tomorrow, Mike?
Tomorrow, Father Tad Pahalchik joins us, so we're all getting smarter, of course. He'll be talking about the moral analysis of boxing.
That's not anything we've dived into recently.
No. A new avenue for him. And we'll also talk with the new St. Michael football color analyst, Chase Garnham.
Okay,
he'll join us
good.
In studio. And Rob Herbst has our article of interest in Catholic Week preview. So there's the ad.
Okay.
Wonderful. We hope you all have a fantastic day. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.